Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come to email us at ForgottenFailuresCast@gmail.com or visit ForgottenFailuresCast.com.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Well, if it isn't clumsy, stupid.
Hi, this is Mike.
This is Daryl.
This is also Mike.
And this is Lindsay, and you're listening to the Forgotten Failures podcast. This is a podcast where we watch obscure or otherwise forgotten movies. And this week, we are brought to you by MailChimp, not to be confused with MailChimp, for all of your Kimpery needs. And this week, we will have watched The Pit.
The Pit.
The Pit is a movie that was recommended to us by a listener, Claude. Thank you very much for your recommendation, Claude.
Thanks, Claude.
If that is your real name.
He said that this was a movie that would be interesting. So yeah, I'm hoping for at least that much.
Yeah.
I did only the most cursory research on this movie, and it's already interesting because it's a Canadian movie that was not filmed in Canada. I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, that is weird.
And The Pit actually has, it was released under another title, Teddy.
Teddy.
So it's both Teddy and The Pit. But this movie can be found on YouTube in full because no one cares about the movie.
As full as you can find it on YouTube.
But unlike most of the movies we've seen on YouTube, this has over 300,000 views. So I'm looking forward to this. There must be some reason why everybody's watching it.
Well, it's Teddy in the Pit.
Yeah.
That sounds like a kick-ass Denver and the Last Dinosaur or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Well, they see Teddy.
Gem and the...
The holograms.
Gem and the holograms.
Yeah, Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a kick-ass and.
Yeah.
All right, so...
As we are a podcast, it's really into pits anyway.
Yeah.
We prefer our pits dead or in biker mice, but this is our first non-biker mice, non-dead related pit.
Oh, you're right. This is our third pit
this
related.
Our third pit.
We get on these tracks of just...
Yeah. We could watch the movie Tracks, but instead we watched The Pit.
Yep. All right, so I'm looking forward to this. It seems like it's B horror from the 80s.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's some good practical effects and some gore in there. And I'm looking forward to that. What do you got, Daryl?
Well, I'm excited. I mean, you know, we do love pits here, and I actually want something to die in this pit just so that it can be officially a dead pit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm really waiting for anything. I'm also somewhat convinced that at least half of those likes on YouTube or watches on YouTube are from people thinking they were getting ready to see Ted.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Teddy. Oh, that's, it's Teddy, something like that, right?
Teddy.
Oh, wait, what the hell?
Yeah, there's a teddy bear in there.
Or they were searching for Roger Corman's The Pit and The Pendulum.
Yeah, that's true. So you looking forward to this, Lindsay?
I am. I am hoping that Claude will not disappoint us.
Yeah,
like he has.
Claude,
we're pushing you in the pit.
Oh boy. But no, I'm looking forward to this just because there are apparently some sort of like troll like creatures in the pit.
Oh, okay, that sounds fun.
And so I'm expecting some really good like 80s special effects,
like critters,
some puppetry. Yeah,
nice.
And I
80s
love that
trolls.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Not to be confused with today's trolls, which are...
on the internet.
Yes.
Today's trolls are computer.
Now trolls...
This is that weird period where trolls used to live under bridges, and now they only live on the internet.
Yeah, they live under keyboards now.
Yeah.
All right.
They live under the comment section.
Yeah. all right, Mike, so you interested in this? You excited?
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm a little... it looks like a weird premise about because the kid involved seems to be younger than you'd expect from a protagonist of this sort of movie.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what kind of shenanigans he's going to get up to.
All right. Well, with that, anything else to add?
No, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's pit it up.
If you don't mind, young man.
I'm sorry.
Well, then move.
Who is it doing this?
The Benjamin boy.
Oh, that one. Just not right, that boy. I'm glad his poor parents have decided to move elsewhere.
He'll grow up.
Surely, my dear, but into what? One of those hippies.
And we just watched The Pit. And it was...
Yeah, we did.
It was quite a movie.
Yeah, yes. I don't know where to start with this one.
Yeah, Claude was, you know what? He was right. We should have watched it.
Yeah.
And we did watch it.
Yeah,
he had us pegged there.
Yeah, we're going to have a fuck of a hell of a lot of things to say about this movie.
And, I was I mean, it's really hard to put into words what this movie was like.
It was like three movies kind of stapled together, maybe three and a half.
But yeah, I really, I'm not sure if enjoyed is a word for it, but it was very interesting. Very few slow parts in it. And it kept my attention much more than most of the movies that we watched. It's something that I would say, you could easily just watch by yourself, or, and it's even funner if you watch it with people, just because it's crazy. It is capital C, triple Z crazy. Anyway, so I would recommend watching it. I would recommend ridiculing it. I would recommend doing whatever with it, making clips of it, making GIFs. I would recommend using quotes from it in everyday life. I would not recommend showing this to like 12-year-old boys who are impressionable, because there's a lot of creepy, pervy, weird stuff in it, but it's what makes the movie unique, I guess. It's probably why it's done so well on YouTube. Yeah. But yeah, so Mike R., what did you think of the movie?
It was weird. I don't know how to express this movie. It's so bizarre. It was like at least two different movies. There's the weird, creepy kid movie, and then it kind of turns into like a monster movie towards the end. And it's really hard to place. I thought some parts were a little slow, mostly just because there's not a lot of dialogue, and when there is, the creepy kid that's doing it is a little off, which totally fits. It's got like a kind of like an Omen-ish feel to it, because it's like, you know, the kid's a little creepy. But I would definitely, it's worth watching just to say you've watched it, just because it's so bizarre. I would say you could do it just like Lindsay said. You could watch it by yourself or with other people. Either way, you're going to get something out of it, and whether that be just creeped out or you'll enjoy it is I'm not sure which one you'll get, but you'll definitely get something out of it. So it left me a little uneasy. Let's put it at that. So I think. What did you think, Daryl?
Yeah. Right now, I have such a mix of emotions. many of them are also conflicted. I don't even know this. I guess I enjoyed this movie, although I even feel weird saying that. It is kind of like three different movies. It's not quite Catman level, where there's actually just two different movies stapled together in post and then dubbed over. But it feels extremely disjointed, but in such a strange way that I mean, it like hits every level of creepy 80s trope of like weird, creepy, kind of sexually curious, soon-to-be psychopath with weird talking animals, weird talking like the teddy bears, I guess. So I guess it has that kind of Omen-y feel, but then it's got like this monster movie feel, but then it's got all the other cast of characters you'd expect to see, like, you know, poorly done trolls in a pit and bungling police and pestering neighbor, nosy librarian, all of them are in there.
It's got them all.
So I'd say it's a movie that I would recommend watching. I think I would have to say you need to watch it with people, because I think it would be too creepy to watch alone. Not even from like it being really gory or really scary. Just the kid, Jamie. Yeah. It would be really uncomfortable to like. It's like watching like a serial killer at age 12, and just knowing that person will eventually grow up, and you're like, all the signs are there, and everybody's just kind of letting it happen. Jesus. Yeah. Well, Mike, what do you have to say about
this? I think
I'm
on the same page as you. I think you have to watch it with other people and kind of make fun of it, because there's not that much good in it. It's just one weird thing after another. You know, I mean, the acting is pretty good. I liked the interaction between the kid and the babysitter, but at the same time, it's not enjoyable to watch because he's kind of tormenting her. So yeah, you can watch it with other people, because you'll just be befuddled by the changes that it takes several times along the course of the movie. I guess that's all I have to say until we get through the plot summary.
Which brings us to...
So I would say ridicule it. Don't watch it by yourself.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of on the same page with just being a weird movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks, Claude. You really freaked us the fuck out.
Yeah. This is one way to start 2016, I guess.
With another pit.
Yeah, with another pit.
Theme of pits.
That's right. We haven't been together to watch a movie in like a month. or so, because last two times we got together was just to do the awards show. So
yeah,
we all finally back together watching another horror movie, which is all we've seen since the beginning of October.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Scarevember continues.
Has turned into Scare-nuary.
Yeah.
Scare-nuary. So is it time for the Mike D. Break D?
Give me a time limit this time, because you can go indefinitely on this one.
Okay, well, you have to keep your own time because you can't hear us, remember?
But let's go for the 90 seconds. That's I think this movie be done in 90 seconds.
Beep, 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 beep. This is a story all about how this kid named Jamie, who is a 12-year-old but looks like a 15-year-old but acts like an 8-year-old, he's not popular. Everybody bullies him. Old ladies bully him, and a little girl bullies him. That's about it. I don't think anyone else lives in the town. So he sees these monsters in the forest, and they turn out to be real monsters, which is surprising. A babysitter watches him at the house. He really, really perves on her for a while. He perves on her, and at the same time, he gets mad at her boyfriend, he gets mad at the bullies, and suddenly he decides to steal meat and give the meat to the monsters he sees in the forest. I don't know what they were doing before he did that. And eventually he runs out of meat and then has to kill people and feed them to the monsters in the forest. And then he runs out of people he considers bad, so he tells the babysitter about the people, then she accidentally falls into the pit and gets eaten by the monsters in the forest. Then it turns into a monster movie because the monsters get out of the pit and run around and kill people, and then the goofy cops show up and really, really easily chase the monsters back into the pit and kill the monsters. And then at the very end, he goes to his grandparents' house, and another little girl pushes him into a different pit. So there are just so many pits. That's the twist ending, by the way.
What a twist.
Yeah, that was the best ending I think we've seen in our whole career.
Yeah, that was good. I didn't expect that.
That was a great.
No, we expected it. We were hoping for it.
We were rooting for it.
Yeah, we were all rooting for it.
How many of these pits are there? It's very similar to the Gnome Mobile because he's the only person who knows about this pit, which is maybe like 200 yards into the woods.
Yeah, how does science not know about these pits?
Yeah.
It's like the gnomes. There are gnomes everywhere in the redwood forests of California, and nobody knows about them except Walter Brennan and the kids from Mary Poppins.
Yeah, it's so weird.
What was really satisfying about this ending, it sounds pretty cruel that this young boy who's been bullied and whatever.
No, it's not cruel. You watch this kid for 1 minute and you want him to fall into a damn pit.
Yeah.
That's where I was going, Mike.
Sorry.
That's fine.
But maybe you should elaborate on exactly why you already want the, I guess, could you even call him a protagonist? Because
he's a creep is what he is.
I mean, I guess if Ted Bundy was in a movie and he was the, you know, main actor, I guess he would be the protagonist. Yeah. But do you root for him?
Like I was saying, the ending sounds cruel. But if you watch this kid, every single thing he does is just the most ultimate creepy thing.
Yeah.
And people talk shit about him like the entire beginning of the movie. And you kind of feel bad for him because you're like, oh, this kid just has problems. He doesn't know how to connect with people.
And like to his face. I mean, like these old women are talking about like how shitty he is to his face.
Yeah. Like,
just like completely putting him down.
To be fair, that old woman was blind, so she didn't know how close he was. Yeah.
I guarantee if she could see, she'd be like, yo, Jamie, come over here. I got to tell you how much you suck.
Basically. But he it doesn't take very long to realize that this kid is not just like a perv in the 12-year-old boy kind of sense. He is actively trying to look up women's skirts.
He
is walking in on his babysitter while she's sleeping and looking at her breasts.
Yeah, he's not just a kid that wants to look at a boob. He's like a kid that really wants to rape somebody, but he doesn't really know what a rape is yet.
Yeah, he doesn't really know what he's doing, but he kind of knows where his feelings are going.
Yes, exactly.
And he eventually, because he finds these what are known as trogs.
Yeah.
He calls them trollologs.
Yeah.
Trollologs.
But he's trying to say troglodytes.
Sound like an 8-year-old.
Yeah, he's trying to say troglodytes, but he can't say the word.
Can't quite say it. and he has a teddy bear, and this movie was originally called Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was more about his relationship with the bear. The bear is his own voice, so you can tell that it's just he's talking to himself.
But they do a good job. They put like reverb and make it kind of echoey and stuff.
And that would have been a really interesting movie if it was just
him and the bear
working out his feelings with the bear.
Yeah. The bear seems to be unrelated to the trogs. This kid has two different weird things going on.
Yeah.
This kid is like a case study in just fucking problems.
In fact, his babysitter is working on her psych degree, so she thinks that she's well-equipped to handle this kid, and she feels fairly equipped to handle this kid early on, but does everything wrong.
She is uniquely unqualified for this.
Yes.
For instance, there's a scene where this kid who is
already made some kind of overt gestures in the weird pervy sense towards her. She wakes up to find him leering at her while she's been asleep and her nipple has been exposed. And when she wakes up aghast that this child is looking at her, he just responds, "I was just watching you sleep."
Yeah, like it's like, no big deal. Yeah, like this is what I do on Saturday.
What, cats do it? Why can't I do it?
Yeah, and she parades around. And this really sounds terrible. She's not. She's just like dressed like a
she's
regular
asking
human being.
For it, right, Lindsay?
But she's he's already made like these weird, creepy, pervy like advances towards
her.
And
you have
already,
a boyfriend?
Like,
how old is your boyfriend?
Yeah, like all these, like, he's been weird with her already and possessive and, like, weird about her picking up a knife on her own, even though she explained that women can, like, do things on their own now.
The women's place is in the kitchen now.
But she's wearing, like, these kind of, like, somewhat translucent, like, kind of see-through
it's
night
like a,
shirts.
Yeah, it's like a it's like a guy's, like, button-up shirt.
Yeah.
Like an oversized button-up
They're about, like,
shirt.
Thigh, like, mid-thigh length, and, like, he keeps seeing her boob silhouette through, like, through
like, the when
light.
The light's behind her, it's like, you can obviously see it. And so she's already woken up to him staring at her when she's sleeping. You think like, oh, I'm going to cover up. I'm going to wear a bra at night. I'm going to do all these things to not lead this guy on or whatever. Yeah. However you want to perceive it. You would think that I'm going to stop that from happening. I'm going to be the adult.
And even after...
And just try to do some, you know, normal stuff that you would do.
Yeah. Well, I think she does that. They go to that football game.
I don't think so.
She's wearing
all.
A turtleneck and a blazer at the football
game. Wait, do you think she's doing that when after all of that and the football game, she gives him a bath?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the bath scene is really where I'm like, you know what? Okay, you use poor judgment.
Yeah. Yes.
But during the bath, the kid says, "Do you know why my mother bathes me so much?"
Yeah, they don't really go into his relationship with his mom.
This like implies this whole backstory, like that this kid is weird because his parents have made him weird.
Yeah,
what's
I don't
great
know.
Though is it's not really explained, but so in the beginning, they the parents obtain its mom, I'm guessing, obtains this this babysitter, and then the mom and the dad just leave.
Yeah, they just split.
For an extended amount of time until the end of the movie.
Yeah, they don't even really say what's happening until we find out that like they've gone to Seattle like halfway through.
Yeah.
They went to Africa to investigate wildlife, like an airborne.
Yeah. They went to go study the wallabies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just assumed they were like, oh, all right, time to leave this babysitter and go to an unextraditable country.
Yeah.
And when he's talking to her, he says, "There have been others like you."
Yeah.
You know, these are red flags in a normal person's book, but I guess in a psych major, just like, just another problem case.
Yeah.
Time to take your bath, get naked.
No biggie. Let me wash your back for you.
Yeah. Yeah, this kid is just, you don't feel bad for him nearly long. Like, they don't do a really good job at making you feel bad for him for very long.
Like, at first, you're kind of like, all right, this kid's just a weirdo. He's, you know, he's a little off. But then, you know, whatever. But the more it goes on, the more you begin to like, no, this kid's got deep problems, and I don't like something needs to. This kid needs
like
to be like locked up, like this kid's gonna kill somebody.
like all the kids,
he eventually does.
Baby Michael Myers.
Like everyone else bullies him, but it's clearly because he has been doing weird stuff for a while.
Oh yeah,
and
like
the movie actually opens up on a weird scene where it's Halloween and he's dressed up like a
creepy ghost.
I guess if you could make a ghost costume extremely creepy. Just watch this movie. If you ever want to know how to creep some out in a ghost costume, that's how you do it.
Yeah, cinch the neck. That's all you do.
Give yourself a collar.
But so like,
look, a lot of ghosts are people who have been strangled.
I guess that's what he was going for, which is unbelievably morbid. But so, you know, it opens with him approaching these two kids at a Halloween. By the way, seasons in this movie, totally arbitrary. Halloween was in the middle of summer for no real reason. Don't know why.
That's
Doesn't
how things
really
are
matter.
In Canada.
And Halloween was just like kind of a backyard with a bunch of kids beating
each
other
up. Yeah, it was just like
up.
A party.
Throwing hot dogs all over the place.
Hitting each other with sticks.
Yeah.
Well, like, so you see this kid, he's approaching this kid at these two kids at a party, and he's telling him he wants to go take him into the woods and show him something. Red flag, but whatever.
Yeah.
And you see that these kids have some backstory. The backstory is the one kid whose name is Freddie, Freddie Phelps, punches Jamie in the face after asking him a question, which is... That's how the movie opens up. So you're kind of like, oh, man, this poor kid's getting picked on. Yeah. Old ladies are making fun of him. Girls laugh at him for no reason. His parents want to leave him. All the babysitters can't stand him. I mean, you kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah. But then
he tries to look up the babysitter's skirt at dinner when he meets her.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, okay.
And what's funny is the adults in the beginning of the movie are making all these comments like, like, oh, he's going to grow up, but what is he going to grow up into? And you're like, God damn, that's harsh. Like, you should be helping him out. And then you,
like maybe
see
him.
Maybe
get this kid some help.
Yeah, you see him in action, and you're like, shit.
No.
He's going to grow up to, like, murder people.
He just pushed some kid into a pit.
Yeah.
You can tell already.
The teddy bear is the person. It's not really a person. The teddy bear is who coerces him to do all these things. It's his consciousness.
Yeah, exactly.
It's his own self. And the teddy bear is telling him, like, he's trying to figure out what these trogs eat. And the babysitter's like, oh, maybe they eat candy because you're a fucking kid making up these trogs. And so he brings him candy and he's like, oh, that's probably not it. Eventually the teddy bear tells him, oh, they eat meat. You should maybe murder some people. Like, you should push some people in there. not in those words, but essentially. And the kid puts up zero fight to that idea.
Yeah.
He does try to go and get some livestock.
Yeah. He tries to coerce a cow.
That was the point at which the movie turned into a goofy horror comedy for about 7 minutes.
Yeah, this movie, like, on a dime, like, just flip switch from, like, being creepy to comical and, like, then creepy again. Yeah. And then,
like, with
a comical
kids movie music. Like, I looked up the director to see if he otherwise made kids movies, because, like, that's what the deal was with Frozen Assets. That's why that had goofy kids movie music in it, but I don't think the director ever did anything else.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Yeah, because, like, it really does turn on a dime. Like, after he's like, oh, I ran out of money after robbing my babysitter and I guess whatever money I was able to find.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have to bring a cow to this pit and they're going to eat that. Yeah. And his logic to explaining to the cow why he was doing what he was doing is hilarious. He's like, hey, cow, I'm going to take you somewhere better because, you know, they're just going to kill you one day and turn you into ground beef and, you know, like steaks and stuff. Yeah. So I'm going to take you to this pit and these animals are going to eat you alive.
Yeah.
All you got to do is get over there.
Put up a fair fight.
And the cow doesn't budge, and then you get this. It's the first time too. You get this, like, do-do-do-do-do-do.
Like wacky racist music.
Yeah. And then after that, there's this, like, montage. I guess it's like a 10 minutes of the movie, but it's still a montage of him convincing people to go into the woods and then killing them. And throughout this whole thing, it's like he has become confident. He's giving them these like goofy monologues.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like Christine. It's like as soon as he decides to kill people, he becomes this confident, cool guy.
Yeah. And the distance to the pit is really hard to like gauge.
Yeah,
because it like sometimes it seems they like get it's there really far away.
Mm-hmm. It is not far away,
but it's not because he's like it's within walking.
Yeah,
distance.
They're just walking there. It's not, and it's not like they leave at sun up and they're there at sundown.
Yeah, it's pretty close, but it's very secluded.
Yeah,
And he at one point the old lady that was in the wheelchair that was talking shit on him.
Yeah,
he comes up to her. He comes up to her and he's like being sweet, but like weird, like really creepy about it. And he's like unlocking her wheels while she's sitting there.
Yeah, like the good son weird.
Yeah,
yeah. And, exactly. Exactly.
And he's like, he's like apologizing. He's like, oh, let me push you. And she's like, nah, that's cool. And he pushes her and he just takes off running, pushing her anyway. And she, the entire time, he's running, she's sitting there and she's flailing her arms around just sporadically every now and then.
Like the wacky inflatable arms guy.
Exactly like that. And it's playing that wacky music too.
And she keeps going,
I almost expected like if you just dubbed that scene over with like Yakety Sax, it would have made it.
Yeah,
it would have
been practically the Paul Rudd Mac and Me clip.
Yeah, it basically is. And it's one of the funnier pit.
Yeah, but the thing is, like this sequence where he's going around killing people, like I thought he was going to start spouting catchphrases. That was did he do any catchphrases?
No, not really.
See you in the pit.
Well, it's not really catchphrases, but that one little bitch girl, she had a lot of slams.
Let's talk about
she was a slam queen.
Miss Abergale.
Abergale. Not
Abergale.
It's Abergale.
Yeah, so I liked what was your favorite sick burn from her? I liked when she called him a funny person.
Yeah, she called him a funny person a couple times.
My favorite was when he ran into her and her aunt.
Yes.
And he said, oh, if it isn't clumsy, stupid.
Clumsy, stupid.
Yeah. That was great. He was running out of the butcher shop and
arms full of meat.
Yeah, and he just drops it and then he just picks it up and like runs like, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. And she's like, oh, well, there goes clumsy, stupid.
Clumsy, stupid.
And her the aunt's just like, character.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's great is she was kind of like a Lucy character. She was like a dick to him. Like she at one point she yelled at him about like trying to ride her bike, and then at another point in the movie she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I was such like a dick to you about that bike. And she has her bike there, it's all shiny, it's like she's been working on it. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, you should ride my bike, it's cool, you should totally ride it, I was wrong, it's cool for you to ride my bike. We're,
and even
we're like
sadder,
friends.
He looks like he's like, oh, friends?
Yeah.
Real?
Yeah.
I can ride a girl's bike?
And he gets on the bike and the bike immediately like falls apart because she had like taken like everything apart, I guess, but set it up somehow.
So was she lying in wait for him, or did the bike just happen to be like missing its seat and then he walked by and she was like, oh, I can burn him now.
No, I think she was probably, it was probably an opportunistic deal where she's walking by and she was like working on her bike for some reason. But the funny part is
she's a real gearhead.
The funny part is that the aunt who's watching after, who's also the librarian, comes out and she immediately, like in the most stern, like sincere voice, she's like, she tells Jamie, our antagonist, protagonist, I don't know.
Our main character.
she tells him, you shouldn't be playing with her.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like a, because she's a bitch. She's a terrible person. Right.
Jamie is not the worst kid in town.
The librarian is kind of always like giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. There's a lot of, and this obviously happens in a lot of movies because why else would a lot of movies plots continue? Mm-hmm. But like there's a lot of ineptitude when it comes to adults and like reporting up the chain properly. They're, when it comes to, spoiler alert, babysitter dies.
Yeah.
When she dies, he, very creepily again, because he's a creep. He starts listing off. He's like, such so and so is missing, aren't they? Blah 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 is missing, and this person's missing. And he's like, and she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you know. He's like, they don't eat candy.
They don't.
And she's like, and she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I'll take you to the pit and show you. At that point, point, you say, hey. Calling the cops for
Yeah.
Why don't we call the cops and the cops will come see what this pit is.
You call
about.
For backup in that situation. You don't just gallivant your way over to the pit.
She didn't think there would actually be monsters in the pit.
Honestly, for a long time I didn't think they were real for a while.
Yeah.
Like I thought he was just pushing people into the pit and maybe it was so long that they just died.
Dying. Yeah.
And then he was just kind of seeing these things.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that too.
And then
even in the deepest, darkest hamlets of Canada, this pit could not go completely unnoticed until this kid found
it. No. That was the biggest thing about this whole, the biggest hole in this whole plot.
And the other thing is that when the cops finally do come, because, and not because like the kid or anything, well, yes, because of the kid. The kid at the end drops a rope down into the pit. He's like, I can't feed you guys anymore, but here's a rope. Have fun getting your own food.
Like, how are these trogs his responsibility? How did this happen?
I don't know.
He just really likes them.
What
do they ever do for him? Babysitter to get killed by them. So you'd think he would turn them into the authorities or something.
Yeah. Like, no. I just don't ever know what they did for him. Like, why is he
like friendly to him. They didn't talk at all.
Yeah. They didn't like give him gifts or anything.
Well, it's a deal where him being the only person who knows about them gives him power.
Maybe.
Yeah, but then he's letting him leave. But why let him loose then?
I don't know, because he's an idiot.
I ran out of bad people, so, you know, just kill whoever. if I think of any bad people, I'll bring them back.
We
had to see more scenes filmed through that beautiful monster vision.
Yeah.
Which is like being seen through a like running yellow stream of some sort.
Yeah.
It's like an R. Kelly video.
Yeah. But
sick burn.
Yeah.
In your face,
all
R.
right,
Kelly.
Abigail.
We know you're listening, R. Kelly.
We got your number.
Yeah. Aura. So finally the cops do come, because the trogs are running amok, they're killing people. The cops finally come, they're like, hey, we need to contain this shit.
Actually the cops come, and is the second comical scene. It's like the bungling you know, small town cops when
he moved to a small town. Nothing like this happens.
The deputy's like, so we got like this missing person, and I guess, all right, I'll back up real quick, because there's actually one other thing I'd like to talk about with Jamie, because this will all make sense then.
Finally, it'll make sense.
The creepiest, by far, the most disturbing scene in this movie. I almost wish it was cut, but I'm glad it isn't, because it just is so creepy. So at one point, Jamie's talking to his teddy bear, and the teddy bear's like, you should do that thing, Miss Livingston, you know, you got to do that.
Oh,
and
that was weird.
Oh, I'm going to do that. So he tapes himself calling Mrs. Livingston in like a ransom call, and he's like, I got Abigail, you know, she's kidnapped and stuff, and you know, I got you need to do some things for me or I'm gonna hurt her. And you know, Mrs. Livingston is upset, so she's in her window. Her window's open, she's doing yoga, she's always doing yoga or stretching or whatever the hell she's
aerobics
doing. Okay. Aerobics,
it's the 80s, it's aerobics.
Jazzercising.
Jazzercising.
Pause for a second. She was wearing a leotard, you know, no legs at all, but long sleeves. Continue.
Of the era.
Yeah.
So Jamie goes outside of the window. I guess he's kind of in the tree, so she can't really see him too well. And this tape recorder's playing, giving her instructions. And it's telling her, he timed it so well. He knew exactly how she was going to respond to this call, because it's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And he's telling her to get undressed in the window. And he's looking at her. and he wants her to get undressed and pose for him so he won't hurt the child that he's taken captive.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is some, his kid is 12. This is some serious shit here.
Yeah.
That's when you start to see, like, wait a minute.
Yeah, this kid's messed up.
Yeah, he's going, like, a couple steps beyond just being a pervy 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, even the being under the table, doing the upskirt things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
kind of forgivable in a way.
You know,
like,
maybe
that's,
he's curious, but, you know, it's weird. But this is, like, straight up
this is like hardware
social extortion.
Yeah,
this is like in Hardware with a creepy dude across the window.
Yeah, it's like creepy Home Alone.
Hardware scene. Because if you remember, there was that one scene where the babysitter found the porn magazine under his mattress and said, "This porn magazine and you," talking to the teddy bear, "it doesn't make sense." And then there was this, like, incredibly slow pan to the teddy bear, and the teddy bear actually moved its head.
Yeah.
So I think, in addition to the monsters being real, I think we're supposed to believe that the teddy bear is actually a, like, possessed teddy bear, which is telling him to do stuff.
Maybe, but it's only that one scene.
And I think the teddy bear was actually talking on that recording. And the kid, even though it's the same voice of the kid being used for the teddy bear, I think we're supposed to believe that the teddy bear is actually a sentient being telling him to do stuff.
Wait, so if it was the teddy bear, it wouldn't have been a recording. Like,
yeah, it would have been live.
It would have just been the teddy bear.
Yeah, he could have carried the teddy bear around, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
like
true.
It wouldn't have been like that. I think the teddy bear moving its head was a really weird point that they didn't get into.
The kid wasn't even there.
And I think it was stupid to do that.
Yeah,
like, it
unless
wasn't
they were
going to
go further.
Yeah,
down
yeah
that
and
road.
They didn't. They never did. So it was just kind of pointless.
But, and it was very obviously the kid.
Yeah.
It was his own voice. That was like that was reflecting back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that head movement thing, there's just nothing else to indicate that the bear was sentient or like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the whole script was kind of a mess.
Well, it was.
The whole
they took the shotgun
was crazy.
You know, they were like, we got a lot of threads and, you know, we'll see if we ever tie any of them up.
Yeah.
What's great is the way they conclude some of these things. Like the way they conclude the trogs in the pit that he found, like the main trogs. Was very clear. It was very clear, and also another great example of ineptitude from a professional. This being the local police department.
Yes.
And all the local people involved because they rush up. All of the trogs are forced back into the pit. They all run back into the pit.
Yeah.
And all these men, including the police force, surround the pit with their guns and just start firing.
Yeah.
They just start firing into the pit.
Fish in a barrel.
Killing all of them.
It was actually kind of sad because, like,
it was a little sad.
I was sad about it.
I didn't think the trogs were going to run back into the pit. No, like, it shows how narrow their worldview is.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they knew any better. They're just, you know, animals trying to get by, trying to eat, you know?
Just plus trogs
where all
trying
cool
to be trogs.
Is.
Yeah.
They don't want
to
leave all their stuff behind.
I was thinking of them as, like, the gremlins. As soon as the gremlins kind of get out of hand, they just go wild. They start coming up with their own plans. But these trogs seem a lot stupider than gremlins.
Yeah, it's trog life.
Yeah, but like what you do in that situation, I would think, especially since they're trapped, like you just pull up the rope.
Pull up
Lindsay,
the rope.
What would you do if you
call
found some trogs in a hole?
But you call like the state officials.
Yeah.
You call like Fish and Wildlife.
You call Parks and Recs or something.
You call like a science. Like, I don't know.
Well,
you call university.
Animal control.
Yeah. Well,
at the very
control.
Least, Ghostbusters.
Yeah. You call. There should be like some scientific research.
Well,
like
this is a creature. Like
no one knows.
It's like
what
if
it
you
is.
Found Bigfoot and you just killed it and buried it.
If I might quote the guy who was giving them orders, who I don't know if he was a cop or a wildlife official, like he gave this little speech telling them to go out and shoot the monsters, and he literally said, "Don't ask questions or figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Shoot the damn things."
Oh, it's so stupid.
It's bad police work. Oh.
So we've seen so many goofy cops, like ever since Final Mission and.
Yeah, Trax was pretty goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the goofy cops at the end of Evil Ed.
Yeah.
Who suddenly commandeered the mental institution in the last quarter of the movie, just like this one.
Especially who I'm thinking is, I'm guessing, is the chief of police for the local police. He is especially terrible at his job because he just basically doesn't want to do it. He's bothered by the fact that all these people are missing, refuses to believe that any of them could be dead.
Yeah, he's they're just missing.
Yeah,
and also refuses to call in any additional support because then he would become a national laughingstock because everybody thinks that small town police departments who aren't used to handling large missing persons cases or like murder cases are idiots.
Yeah.
That's because that's just like he's definitely not letting his pride get in the way of getting the job done.
Yeah. He's the closest I've ever seen to a live action Chief Wiggum in a movie. It's almost like the scene where Chief Wiggum just keeps answering the phone over and over again, saying, "Sure, an elephant. Yeah. Sure, an elephant." Like 15 different people call and they all report an elephant. Yeah. Like this is the same sort of thing. He's like, "Oh, they disappeared." oh, these deputies. Five people are missing. Oh, it can't be a big deal. Are you kidding?
One of the cops, when he, I don't know about him either. One of the cops goes out into the woods, and he sees like just meat.
It's
I think
bones and meat, and like, it looks like a carcass
and
almost.
Someone's like stuff. One of the missing person's things. Yeah. And then he calls it in to this chief who doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we got another missing person. Well. A dead body.
It's another. It's a missing person
dead. Who is dead?
Yeah, you mean a murdered person? Yeah. A homicide?
We got a missing person who's dead, and I found them.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he said.
Yeah, he's terrible too.
But so my stupid. Favorite moment with the chief was when, like, the other cop showed him the wheelchair. She was like, "You know what? This old lady who used to sit in the wheelchair, she's dead too." And then the chief just sits in the wheelchair.
He's it like, just goes off man, like, I can't. And then the wheelchair gets possessed and just like shoots off into the sunset.
Yeah, I was just thinking at that point, like, is this wheelchair actually possessed? Is the movie going to go in that direction? It's gone so many weird directions.
That'd be great.
Think of other creepy things, you know, like as Jamie is throwing people into the pit and he throws Abigail. He throws this bitchy old woman, and then he also throws in his babysitter Sandy's boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention him.
Well, it's not
they're
a real boyfriend.
Yeah, it's not
they're
a real
friends.
Boyfriend. It's just a
just
friend with benefits.
Just a booty call.
Yeah.
So after he does that, for the most part, like when he pushes Abigail and he takes her bike, and he's like, yeah, fucking right. I got this sweet bike. Yeah. He pushes the old woman in. He comes about riding on her thing and like having a good time. Like, yeah, this thing's sweet.
And
there's
it turns out
God.
It was an electric wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah.
So she could have just like electric wheelchair herself away from him, probably.
But no.
Maybe he disconnected the battery.
Oh, maybe. You know what? One of my favorite parts of this movie was after... the babysitter and the main character go to the babysitter's boyfriend's football game.
Yes.
They leave with the boyfriend. They're all in his like drop top. They're, you know, and the kid is like not having it. He's not having a good time because he's like, this is my competition.
Yeah, he hates it.
Yeah, he hates everything about being at that football game, being around like that dude.
Yeah, like so, that dude like does a good play and everyone's all like, yeah. And he's like, I hate it. Yeah.
He's like rolling his eyes.
Yeah. He's like throwing stuff on the ground.
Yeah, the kid is sitting in the back seat of the convertible, and as the boyfriend's walking up, he tosses him like the game winning ball or something. Yeah. And the kid just kind of like throws it disgusted like down on the floor.
Oh,
he hated
so good.
It. But my favorite part was when he dropped the kid and his girlfriend off back at their place.
Mm-hmm.
He drops them off. The kid gets out and he runs to the door, but he's still obviously looking out the front door. It's not even closed.
Yeah.
He's not even hiding himself.
Yeah,
he's
just
watching.
Like...
And so the boyfriend then puts the top back on the car. Doesn't roll up the windows. Puts the top back on the car. And as soon as the top's up, he starts hard macking on the babysitter.
Just make out sesh.
And right in front of the kid. And the kid's hating it even more. and it's just like, what are you putting the top?
Yeah, you got to imagine this boyfriend has been like cajoling her into being like, let's make out in public. That'll be a turn on. She's like, no, let's
make out.
Okay, I'll
kid.
Compromise. We can do it with the windows open, but the top has to be up.
Yeah.
They just didn't want God to see.
Yeah, she was like, God can't see it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Just shut out God.
Yeah. But the thing is, I'm not sure if maybe she's not paying attention to the door or anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
But this is after a lot of creepy shit's happened. I can't remember if at this point he snuck into the bathroom while she's taking a shower and wrote in lipstick on the mirror, I love you.
No, I think that was later.
By the way, that happened.
That also happened.
Yeah,
also,
there's a window in the door to the bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom door has a glass window pane in it. Not one that's like etched or anything.
No.
And no curtains.
Just like a normal ass window in the door. Yeah. Like the front door on someone's house or something.
It kind of shows you how much the parents cared about making that house a home. They're like, let's just get the bare minimum in here, get a babysitter, and then get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, this was an old office building, and we just said, you know what? This would take a lot to renovate. Yeah. So,
just stick a toilet over there. I'll watch my husband take a dump from the hallway.
Yeah.
It'll be cool.
Before this kid commits a felony, We need to get him settled. We need to get the fuck out of here.
I can't believe I didn't notice that the bathroom door had a window in it.
That's so
up there with Fateful Findings having those scenes in a hospital that had a carpet.
Oh, yeah. Carpeted hospitals is the next step. Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
It was really weird. The babysitter's whole, like...
Babysitter's an idiot.
The babysitter was just a dummy.
You big dummy.
It's very obvious from the beginning what's going to happen to the babysitter because he is the most obsessed. He's obsessed with boobies. He's obsessed with like women. He's like constantly looking at like he's constantly he's so, stealing books from the library that are like
art books. Creative nude photography book.
And like cutting out like pictures of like nude women and like doing creepy things with them.
He's so into titties that at one point he's sitting on his bed, he's calling the babysitter in, and he is holding his bear as if he is grabbing the tits that should be there.
He's like fondling the bear.
Yeah, he's fondling the bear's would-be tits.
Why didn't my parents get me a female bear?
Yeah. He's
He's a psychotic creep.
Well, you have to remember that in the movie, although the kid is does not look 12, he is 12. So the babysitter doesn't seem threatened by him.
Yeah, but I don't care if a kid is 8. If he starts doing that stuff, I'm going to be like, I don't like this kid.
Yeah.
He's creeping me out.
Yeah, you got to set up some hard boundaries at that point.
I'm going to look out for myself. I'm going to make sure the doors are locked. I'm going to do all this stuff.
And the,
I'm not going to shower in the bathroom with the window pane.
Yeah, you start showering down at the
at the Y.
Yeah, go down to the Y. Start showering at Alan's house.
Like, hey, Alan, we don't have to go out or anything, but can I use your shower?
You can watch me.
Because the mother did warn her. Like, there may be a crush.
Yeah. And she kind of brushes off. Because at that point in time, sure, it's a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Sure, he's going to develop a crush on a pretty, like, young babysitter.
Yeah, you almost expect it.
Yeah, it's fine.
He's like, do you have a boyfriend? Well, kind of. Cool. Do you have some naked pictures of yourself? Or maybe, like, some used panties or something? Ugh. Like, whatever you got, I'll take it. I'll take it all.
Another one of my favorite parts of this movie is... it's when the babysitter first starts, before most of the creepy stuff happens. She takes a call from her boyfriend at night. I think it's like her first night there. And they're having a conversation. And he's just like in the ultimate. He's like in the hallway of a dorm room. And
there's
he's
like towel snapping going on in the background.
And he's talking about like what's happened in there. He's like, oh, Jimmy's like typewriter was like lost. And, you know, just general hijinks, general like general college stuff.
General grab ass.
Yeah. And it so it cuts on him. And he's talking to her. And he's like, oh, one more thing. And then it cuts over to her. And she's on the phone. And her reply is, oh, you have a sexy voice too.
Yeah. Like, what was the other end of that conversation?
Like, just one more thing. You have a really sexy voice. Like,
oh, you have a really sexy voice too.
My theory was that she didn't have a boyfriend when he asked. She was just cold calling colleges until somebody picked up the phone and was just like, hey, what's going on over there? Hey, what's your name? Hey, I think your voice is pretty.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me so this kid will go upstairs?
That would have been great if this turned into one of those stupid stories about somebody having to pretend to be somebody's boyfriend to like for when they go home for the holidays.
Yeah, and then
got involved in this psychotic kid story.
And then it's like, what's your favorite scary movie?
So guys, how old do you think the actor was who played the kid?
Like, I thought he wasn't that bad. Like maybe 13, 14.
Yeah.
I don't know. He had such a, like, I don't know, his face, facial bone structure. He looked like Dustin Hoffman to me.
What?
And that just reminded me of Dustin Hoffman being like 30 when he was the college student and The Graduate. So I kept estimating this kid's age up in every scene. I was like, he's 14, really? He's 16, he's 18.
I think he looked about appropriate for to play a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I think it wasn't like too far-fetched that he was.
And honestly,
they gave him that bowl haircut because they didn't think he looked 12.
I honestly think that
The haircut definitely helps.
All of the people in this movie were cast pretty well as far as age goes. Like, even the babysitter was a believable, like...
Yeah, she's supposed to be, like, 24, I think she said at one
point. She had a mom haircut, but it's only a mom haircut now. Back then, 24-year-olds.
Back then,
that
was,
Yeah, so I think that they cast this really well, because I believed, and it might have been, too, that it's really terrible quality.
the YouTube version of this is absolutely awful.
Yeah, absolutely awful.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, the dad, I believed he was Canadian, because he looked like Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah. And they kept saying oot.
No, I didn't hear that.
Sorry.
I heard sorry four times.
Sorry.
And Boro and
bean.
Once.
Yeah, and bean.
Bean.
You must have been going to the door.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, they didn't say a boot. It was a lot of abouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They practiced that
one. Yeah, this is
they
this
tried. Really
they're reminds, like, those Americans are on to our boots.
There's another great part of this movie is the kid a couple times goes back to a butcher shop to get meat. Once he figures out that the trogs eat meat, he goes and he just brings like a 20 and he's like, hey.
Yeah. Well, he's stealing money from the babysitter.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, I need meat. And the butcher's like, oh, well, what kind? And he's like, well, just whatever is the
most the cheapest meat.
Yeah,
my mom said to get the cheapest meat.
Whatever I can get the most for the money that I gave you, basically.
Yeah.
And he comes back another time. The butcher's like, what?
You were just here yesterday.
Yeah, like, what? What's up? And he's
like
just 20
pounds of meat.
Yeah.
And at the end, he says, "But this is going to be a dinner for five." And then at the end, then he's like, five humans."
Yeah, five humans.
And then he comes back like another time, and the butcher's like, "Aren't your parents out of town?"
Yeah.
Like the butcher is one of the more competent people in this movie, where he's like, "This
the
is
butcher
an
should
up.
Be the sheriff."
Yeah, basically, he's doing more police work than the sheriff.
Yeah, seriously.
He asks follow up questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think I was gonna say. Yeah. Oh no, I was just gonna go into. I don't think we've described the troglodytes yet.
Oh no, we haven't.
Yeah, they're very. They're kind of weird.
It's funny. I mean, as much as this movie is about them, you don't really see a lot of good close. Now the quality didn't help.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This movie is 1981.
Yeah, but they were all. It was like ape suits. They look kind of like Ewoks when they were from behind.
Yeah, they got like weird, glowy, orangish eyes.
Yeah, they were like a cross between like apes, bats, and like slea stacks.
Yeah,
I like.
And
the
they had hooved feet.
That was
feet.
Kind of what is it? Attack the Blockish.
Yeah,
bigger,
a little bit,
I guess, or like more. I don't know. They basically throw like a ghillie suit on a person, and a mask that kind of looks like a little bit like that has a bit of a snout, and then you got a trog.
Yeah, trogs. And they had hooved feet.
Yeah,
hooves.
Yeah, I don't know what they evolved from. A pan, I guess, or something like that. But
you don't.
They were all believable until the hooves.
See, I kind of thought that like how they were able to not be found before.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that maybe like this is a pit, right? But maybe there's like an underground system.
I was thinking
this is
that
just,
too.
Like a surface, like this is just like an air hole or something.
But if that's the case, why are they always just hanging out at the bottom of the pit? You think
that's
they'd like go to their burrows?
People keep throwing them candy bars and humans.
Yeah, maybe that's one of those things where like, oh wait, we can get free food up here. Shit.
I think it's a deal like bears, like on the edge of a wilderness, where eventually they run out of food, so they start encroaching on human territory.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think they're just Ewoks that are just feral. And,
they're just feral
Ewoks. They're kind of familiar with humans, but they've lost all ability to be able to speak with them.
But I just wonder, what are the chances that wherever he went to go visit his like family, his like second cousin or whoever threw him into the pit, the other pit, what are the chances that there's going to be another pit wherever else he goes?
Canada is just full of pits.
Full of pits. Yeah. It's the pits.
And trogs.
Either way, it was still probably the best ending we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Out of any of the movies we watched.
Satisfying. I hope by now you can realize why it was so satisfying to see this the main character of this movie who is bullied.
Baby John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
Like as soon as they said, oh, there's a girl over there. She could be your friend.
Yeah.
We all pretty much looked at each other and said, I really hope she pushes him into a pit.
And what's great is she does like right away befriend him. And she kind of puts him off because she's like, oh, we can be friends. And he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Somebody
that's
finally
all
wants
I've
to
ever
be my
wanted.
Friend. And so he's like just following her. They're having a good time. And she's kind of creepy about it too.
But in a much more like kind of believable way.
Like
creepy without like being like a pervy creep. Like,
yeah.
Well, she only had like two lines to say.
Yeah, but even just like the way that she delivered them, it was very like.
She was like hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. It was very believable.
She's been killing kids for years.
Yeah.
She's a regular Wednesday Addams.
Yes.
Because one of the creepy things, one of the main creepy things about this kid is that, so not only does he have all these like pervy tendencies where he does like a lot of peeping Tom shit, more than just the one girl's aunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he does that, well, it's to her again, at the library. He like peeps on her at school.
Yep.
Yeah.
He goes up to this back window and is watching her go through this nudie book that he stole from the library.
Yeah.
So he has these like peeping Tom tendencies. He like will watch women sleep with their titties out.
Yeah.
He'll like sneak into bathrooms while women are taking showers.
He'll make fake calls to get them to get naked for him
while he could emotionally coerce them into taking their spandex off.
He asks extremely personal, very invasive questions. He coerces people into giving him baths.
Yeah.
And then, you know what?
He doesn't
that
like
was
when,
on her.
He doesn't like when girls pick up knives.
No.
Okay. To be fair, his mom gives him baths and his mom reads him stories every night before bed. He's 12 again.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why. Yeah. I don't know why he's so weird.
And,
maybe this whole thing is a plot by the parents.
Oh,
like they're using this creepy kid as their tool,
just like Airborne,
to kill people.
Maybe it's like some Omen shit where he's like he's a creepy ass kid, and they know that he's like the devil's kid.
Yeah.
But so all these things are happening. He doesn't really fight back when his conscience tells him to start pushing people into the pit.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't show any emotion towards it, except for conflicting emotion towards it, except for the babysitter. But at one point before the babysitter, during Halloween, when he pushes the one bully dude in, the chick that was with the bully dude, she was running around scared out of her fucking mind.
Yeah.
And so he's chasing her. And at this point, he's enjoying torturing this
girl. Yeah, he's laughing and like really getting into it. And
drawing it out.
Drawing it. He's just super enjoying it, like taking a trophy.
Yeah. He's... And that point, the whole part of that movie was like a very weird turning point. Like, I thought that she was going to get away and that was how this movie was going to kind of resolve. But instead, that's where the movie kind of took like a 180 and it just turned into like a monster movie.
Yeah, because the kid only had like 5 enemies. And once he killed all the enemies, he was like, okay, problem solved.
Yeah, like you think that girl would get away, they'd get the cops, and then it would be like maybe they'd be trying to find this kid, like he'd be hiding out. Ending. That's how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And so this is a weird movie where the monsters are innocent.
Yes.
The main character is just a
creepy asshole.
A terrible murderer.
Yes.
A terrible murderer.
Pervert.
And somebody who sexually assaults women.
And is also... a clumsy stupid.
Yeah, and is a clumsy stupid.
Walking 2020 discovery mystery waiting to happen.
He's a real funny person.
He's a real clumsy stupid.
Yeah.
He's distressing, as the librarian said once to the girl.
Yeah. He's basically
he's Rosemary's baby.
He's like Robert Durst as a kid, you know? He's the jinx as a child, probably. Yeah.
And that this weird aspect of the main character is like, I found this interview with the screenwriter at badmovies.org, and he just is completely upset because he wrote the character. Like, basically, it's just like the movie's going to be about this kid with autism, and he was like an 8-year-old kid with autism, and all this stuff was in his head.
And that's what it feels like sometimes.
That's what it feels like a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But then, when they decide to make the movie, they turn it into a horror movie, so it's not in his head, and he's older, and he's a perv, but sometimes he still seems like he has autism, like... Like when he doesn't even realize that the stuff he did was bad, you know? It's just really weird.
There were a lot of times when you can see how that's written that it seems like has someone, he's someone who has a problem with emotionally connecting or knowing why people do things the way that they do things.
Reading people's signals.
Yeah. Like autism.
He's very not good.
Definitely,
at that.
Definitely autistic or Asperger's or something along those lines.
Yeah. And I guess that's just a classic case of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And screenwriters, Hollywood just chews them up.
Put some trogs in it.
Yeah.
Hashtag trog life.
Yeah. I can see why the dude would be very disappointed in the way that this movie, his script was treated, because it turned into a weird movie. And like I said before, if it was just about this boy and his teddy bear and him working out his feelings, that would have been...
It would have been like creepy and like disturbing on a different level.
It would have been the grim and gritty reboot of Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah. But instead, it would be like turning Flowers for Algernon and like putting trogs in there.
Yeah.
It's just like, why?
Yeah. It was weird. That's why this movie is so disjointed. And like the trogs really don't have a purpose other than to eat, like to be a way to dispose bodies for this kid.
Like they could have not been there and they could have just been pushing people into a pit.
Yeah. They should have been there. Like they weren't there in the original script. Yeah. They were in his mind. Yeah. That's why they were dealt with so half-assedly.
Yeah. And that's, this is a movie that's definitely interesting.
Like I said, it's definitely worth watching. It's just, you gotta wrap your head around it.
Yeah. It gets really creepy and just like this kid is written to be the most creepy perv ever. And it does get uncomfortable in a lot of parts because you're like, this kid is really crossing a lot of lines and just ruining everybody's lives.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Dahmer or whatever his last name is.
Yeah, it's basically.
He's right up there. If we, you know, just in preparation for, you know, the award show 2016, I think we have to put him as a villain.
Yeah.
And as the most, we've only watched one movie so far, but
he's already best villain.
He's on the short list.
Yeah. This is definitely, I feel like this is the first movie we've watched where the main character is a villain.
Yeah.
Like this, because he's not, and they make
I guess Evil Ed was kind of
like
that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I consider Quaxton to be the main character of the Gnome-mobile.
Yeah. But they don't really do much to try to make him likable.
No.
They don't.
No.
No.
When the audience audibly cheers at his death.
Yeah.
Which we all did. Yes. Loudly.
When he got pushed in the pit, my arms literally raised up in my in the air.
Mine too. I was fist pumping, just waiting for this girl. I was like, do it.
Do it.
Yeah. And I think Mike R's reaction to him being pushed in the pit at the end was this brought the movie up from a 3 to a 7.
Yeah, it went from a 3 to a 7.
That's how powerful this ending was.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, this the ending really makes the movie because, again, I've said it.
Because it's the only thing that redeemed everything. Because yes. Otherwise, this kid's just an asshole for the whole thing.
Because nothing happened to the kid. Yeah, because you keep thinking, like, he's killing all these people.
Yeah.
Something's got to happen. He's, like, he's being a dick to, like, all these women. Something's got to happen.
Yep. And not only that, but he disappeared for a good, like, 20 minutes while they were doing the troglodyte
fight.
He
frames another. He tries to frame another person.
What was the deal with that? I was going to ask you about that. Like, have we ever seen that guy before, the guy that he framed?
He was after the boyfriend got put in the pit. The babysitter was like fooling around with him.
Oh,
he
was
the one in the car,
guy.
Presumably because he's in that one scene, and then you don't see him again until he gets arrested for the peeping Tom / kidnapping Abigail case.
Yeah, the kid actually frames him. He puts the little girl's Halloween costume in the guy's car.
Yeah,
he does a really good job of it too.
Yeah,
I mean. The guy, thankfully, due to, I'm not saying good police work, but
I would say
the one cop just like
negligent police work.
Yeah, the one cop's basically, he's basically like,
we've got all this evidence against this guy, but I don't think he did it.
Yeah, I got my gut feeling just says he doesn't do it.
He doesn't
seem cool.
Like
he's got a mustache. He's nice.
He's like Magnum P.I.
He looked like Glenn Lightfoot, by the way.
Yeah. It was a look back then.
It was the look.
It was the look.
The look of 1981.
Yeah. But yeah, this is
The Pit.
The Pit.
Would you rather the movie be called The Pit or Teddy?
Teddy. Teddy makes more sense.
I don't know. I think The Pit.
I think The Trog Pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dead Pit, The Trog Pit.
That's right. The Trog Pit. That would be a unique title, at least.
I feel like if the troglodytes weren't there, it would be good as Teddy. Yeah. But with the troglodytes there, I think The Pit works.
Yeah, I think it should have been called Abigail, and there should have been more Abigail.
It should have just been called Clumsy
Schooled
Stupid.
With Abigail.
Clumsy, stupid. Clumsy Stupid.
Funny Person. It'd be like Funny Games.
Yeah, he would talk to the camera instead of talking to Teddy. And then at the end, you pan out and reverse on us, and we are Teddy.
Yeah. All right, so everyone go out and watch Clumsy Stupid.
Yeah.
Everybody get up into the trog pit.
Trog pit.
Like a plague or something. People disappearing right and left. Old ladies, little girls, young women, schoolboys.
Why don't you make the whole thing official? I mean, they'd send you enough policemen and experts to...
Are you out of your mind, Bentley? It'd make me the laughingstock of every police department in the country. Those people aren't dead. They just disappeared.